This is Doug Miller. You know, there are some strange people wandering around out there. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged and blessed to be able to come back again and give out this word in the full and certain assurance that God will always bless and honor his word. And of course, our business is to put it out there, without wrinkle or blemish, to put it out there as God intended it to be put out there. And your business is to listen and to take it in and to be changed by it, as certainly we are changed by it from this side of the microphone. Okay, let's see. We are coming to you every week at this time on this station and brought to you by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support of our listeners. Pray for Dialogue. Write this number, this name down on your prayer list and take it before God and pray. Pray that the word will go out. Pray that I will be given the grace to tell the truth and to tell it out boldly. Pray that it will find, this seed sown will find root in good soil. Pray that we may have an ever broader expansion of this ministry out farther beyond, and that people will listen. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to get letters from our listeners, to know that you're there, to be able to help you in any way that we can. If we can provide any materials for you, anything we can do for you that is within our power and ability to do, we are certainly delighted to be able to do it. So let us hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. And if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, that's okay too. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Okay? Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. You can, if you wish, pull down our webpage, and that's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogueministries.org. And I always on here, at some point or another, get around to giving you my telephone number. If you want to call and talk to me, be delighted to hear from you. The number is 405, area code 405-535-9089. All right, that's 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and I'll get back with you. All right, I think that pretty well takes care of the preliminaries. Let's get back into the book of Job, a book that for many chapters is rather dark and rather troubling, and it is the sort of thing that that many out there probably at some time or another have lived through in some way. I would be very surprised to have anyone say to me, well, you know, I've never had any trouble. Well, if you've never had any trouble, you're not living in the same world I am, friends. And if someone comes along and says to you, if you're in trouble, well, it must be that you just don't have faith because, you know, the Lord's people shouldn't have trouble And if they're having trouble, it's because of a lack of faith. I tell you what, you had better tell them to come and read the book of Job. There was nothing wrong with Job's faith, and yet he is into trouble. And he's into trouble, and it's deep and painful and hurtful. And he is into trouble because God is doing something in and with Job. And it's something important. And if there had been another way to do it, I am sure God would never do it this way. I often think of our Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, how he went forward by himself, leaving Peter, James, and John behind him and where they went to sleep. And he went forward and fell on his face and said to God the Father, "If thou wilt, let this cup pass from me." But you see, there was no other way. There was no other way for a guy like me to ever be in heaven if the Lord Jesus Christ had not gone to Calvary bearing his cross and been crucified to bear my sins. And there are many good things that God intends for me, just as he intended for Job. And there are times when the only way these good things can be brought to pass and be brought about is for me to go through, I don't know how else to say it, affliction and hardship and difficulty. If there were another way, God would never let it happen the way it does. And that's true also with Job. Now, I said at the beginning of the broadcast, there are a lot of strange people out there in the world. Having said that, let me assure you, I'm fairly normal myself, of course, but and that was a joke for those of you who didn't get it. But look, there are people in the world who like nothing more, it seems, than to destroy other people, particularly if those people that they are trying to destroy are people that have been riding high and have been on top. The Lord said when he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, "Thou shalt not covet." Envy, covetousness, is a deadly, vicious sin. And God said, don't do it. And yet, it's out there. And when people see a man like Job, there are always plenty of people who would love to pull him down and to destroy him. And, of course, he's got three such people who are on his case right now. They come ostensibly as his friends to help him. Are they helping him? Not actually, no. Are they hurting him? Oh, yes. They are hurting and wounding him deeply. They are hurting him so much that he cries out in his agony and in his anguish and says, you know, "Why don't you help me? If the situation were reversed, I would help you. What are you doing this for?" Well, Job, I can tell you why they're doing it. They're doing it because they have thrown in and they are in league with the enemy, Satan. They are doing it because they really are not very good friends, Job. They are doing it because they are theologically ignorant. They don't understand God. They don't know what they pretend to know. And they are doing it because apparently they are delighted to be able to see you destroyed and brought down to their level. And they're going to step on you. And they're going to go on doing it until God finally puts a stop to it. Now, last time we were in here, I told you that I'm going to do something a little bit different with the remainder of Job. I am not going to go line by line and verse by verse on this one, because frankly, after a point, Job's friends begin to sound, they're like one-note Johnnies, aren't they? They say the same things over and over again, and in a sense, Job answers them over and over again. So what I'm going to do from now on, I am going to be just hitting some high points through Job until we get back close to the end. So I hope that this will be helpful. And if you say, well, I don't like this, I'd rather you go line by line and verse by verse, well, you can get in touch with me and tell me that, and I may take your advice and I may not. But nevertheless, I would like to go up to the 19th chapter of Job. And I would like to pick this up at verse 21 of the 19th chapter. And here we have Job crying out, "Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh?" Man, you know, have you ever felt this way? Have you ever been in trouble and had people who you thought should be helping you, and in fact they're doing nothing of the sort? They seem to take delight in your problems. I think it's remarkable that Job continues to call these guys his friends, because at some point, I think I would kind of wash out on him. Job's a nicer guy than I am, I guess. But look at this again. "Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." Also, rather interesting to see in this that Job, it's really, you know, it's the hand of Satan that has directly touched Job. We saw that back in the opening chapters of this book. And yet Job identifies it as the hand of God. Is he wrong? Well, you might say he is kind of wrong, but on the other hand, it is God's permissive will that has allowed this. And ultimately, I think Job is right. He can see the hand of God in this. And because of that, I want you to listen very carefully to me, friends, whoever and wherever you are. We know something that Job didn't know. Those of us who are alive today and who are saved and born again, and if you're not, you better get saved. But for those of you who are saved, we have in our hands the full and complete Word of God. Job didn't have it. We have Romans 8:28. We know that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. When the hard times come, we always and ever have that verse to flee back to. We always can cry out to our Father and say, "I don't understand why this is happening, but I know that ultimately your word assures me that you intend it for good, and it will come out good." Job didn't have that. And he, what could he do? But, you know, "You're persecuting me," he says, "as God." Well, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? That's one that's not quite so easy to get hold of. Because these guys that are doing this are certainly not doing the will of God. God makes this very clear later on. And yet, it is also true that in a sense, they are participating in this, even as God intends it. And in that sense, they are persecuting him as God. When it's all over and all said and done, and when Job is blessed more than he even was before any of this began, and we'll see that later on, a part of the blessing that comes to him comes through this persecution. And God is using even the persecution of these wicked and ignorant men for God's good. It's an amazing and a wonderful thing to look at, and it is not easy to explain or understand. But once again, if you are saved, you are in the hands of a benevolent, loving Father God who intends everything for your good. And some of you right now, even as I speak, some of you who are under the sound of my voice, are in tremendous pain and agony because of things going on in your life. Hold on, friend. Hold on. The Lord will not leave you in the fire longer than you have to be left in, and He knows what's happening, and He knows when to take you out. Now, I want to begin now with, in verse 23, I want to look at 23 through 27, and these happen to be some of my favorite verses in the Bible. I said earlier, Job didn't have the full Word of God written down as we have it. He couldn't turn to the New Testament to look at it. He couldn't even turn to the Old Testament. It wasn't written. He was a man. The information he had from God had no doubt been passed on to him. He was a descendant of Noah. It had come down orally. And no doubt God was revealing things to him and showing him things. But he didn't have the complete revelation as you have it. But look at what he did have. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Wow. There is a prayer, and it's uttered as a prayer, and Job had his prayer answered, didn't he? He got what he prayed for, because his words are now written, and they are here, and we're looking at them. And they were printed in a book, and we are looking at them. And as far as being graven in being graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever, the book says forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The book says, our Lord Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The words that Job is about to utter here, are forever established and will stand forever throughout the ages of eternity. If, and once again, I tell you this, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible right here. A long time ago, I memorized this one. And if you memorize Scripture, I suggest you memorize Job 19, 23 through 27. And if you don't memorize Scripture, start. And if I say start and you don't start, I'll pray for you. Hiding the Word of God in your heart is a good thing to do. If Job had not gone through the persecution and the pain and agony that he went through, then these words would never have been written down. He would have never uttered them, and they would never stand graven in the rock forever. But because of his persecution, this guy, living all well over 3,000 years later, is able to come back to this and read this and meditate on these words and be blessed. Look at this. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. The word Redeemer there is the Hebrew word Goel, and it means the kinsman Redeemer. This is the one with the right to redeem the possession, and we have it defined in the Mosaic Law. This is Boaz in Ruth was a kinsman redeemer. And of course, the kinsman redeemer here, I mean, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no question about it. The living Son of the living God, and He is the kinsman redeemer. The blessing is that He became flesh. He became a man like us, our kinsman. And He came to do what? To redeem and to buy us back. Those of us who were sold under sin, sold in the slave market of sin, bound in the chains of darkness, and on our way to a lost eternity. Our living kinsman redeemer came. Look at this. I know that my Redeemer liveth, but there's more to it than that. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job is talking here about, he knows there's a last day, and he knows at the last day that the kinsman redeemer will stand on this earth. And friend, that is absolutely certain. Job knew that, but he knew more than that. I want you to look at what he says here. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Job, what a wonderful thing to know and to be able to say and to testify to. He understood something about the resurrection. I may die. My skin may be eaten by worms. And I may be destroyed and decay in the earth into dust. And yet, I shall see him for myself, and my eye shall see him, my kinsman redeemer. And he goes on here and says, not another, or literally not a stranger, or not as a stranger. That's really perhaps how this should read. Mine eye shall see, and not mine eye shall behold, and not as a stranger. You know, sometimes my wife and I go down to West Texas for family reunions, and it's a wonderful thing in a way to walk in here, and we go back to, you know, homecomings in this little town, Westbrook. And when we're there, it's an interesting thing to be able to walk in and you're known. You're not a stranger. People don't look at you and say, well, who are you and why would you show up here? And even those who don't recognize you, you say, well, I'm so-and-so. I'm such and such as son or grandson or whatever. Oh, sure, of course, I know who you are. No, not as a stranger, not as someone on the outside looking in. Look at what Job is saying here. And ask yourself, could you say this? The day is coming when I shall see my Lord Jesus Christ face to face, not as a stranger, not as someone cast out. And Job ends this by saying, though my reins be consumed within me. Man, what a wonderful thing to say. And he is crying this out from the depths, from the pain and agony in his heart. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eye shall behold, and not as a stranger, though my reins be consumed within me. Those of you who are listening to me, you need to honestly evaluate yourself. If you are saying, I'm not sure what you're even talking about, if you are not saved, you need to get in touch with me or someone who can help you. You need to be saved. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.